141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Barry Ferguson kicks off his interim reign with a 4-2 win over Kilmarnock, but had to battle back from two goals down. Controversy as Hibs beat Dundee United. Big wins as well for Motherwell Hearts and St Johnstone, and Cameron Carter-Vickers' Dyson Maeda was the talk of the Bayern Munich dressing room. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight are Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Well, what a start to Barry Ferguson's reign. I mean, what a game of football it was after... what was it, 15 minutes or so? He must have thought, why have I came back into this managerial game and what have I let myself in for? But one thing's for sure, I think he was brave in his decision to make a change, and he got a reaction from his team, and his career as Rangers manager is off and running. Can he sustain that? Time will tell. But a good night of football across the board, and plenty of VAR controversy, especially up at Tannadice, I'm sure. We'll talk about that as the show goes on.
Aye, we needed more, didn't we? We needed a bit more of VAR drama. There wasn't enough this week. But certainly in terms of the actual football as well, some big results. Gordon, and a lot of eyes on Rugby Park.
Yeah, massive. A lot of eyes on Rugby Park because of the fact of Barry Ferguson taking over for his first game in charge of Rangers interim manager. And I think Mark's right. After 20 minutes, you're looking and think, what am I doing here? I'd be better sitting up there in my ambassador role. But all credit to him and his staff. They got the well-earned victory for me. I thought second half there was only one winner in it. The minute you get the back into 2-1, you seen the sort of other players lifting again, and you thought, right, okay, the minute it goes 2-2, there's only one winner, and Rangers ran out, to me, comfortable winners. But if you look at the overall picture here, St Johnstone, they've came from nowhere, all of a sudden putting a lot of pressure on Dundee, play them at the weekend. Motherwell get their first win under the new manager. You look at Hibs, just flying at this moment in time. Okay, the controversy comes with the talking point with the goal, Dalby's goal, and Hearts. So you're looking at two teams, Hibs and Hearts, not that long ago, were sitting bottom and second bottom. They're now in the top six. How quickly things change in football.
And they face off against each other on Sunday. That will be a very interesting game. A lot of good games to come this weekend, but so much for us to look on to last night before we get round to that. You just saying about Barry Ferguson wondering what he'd got himself in for. Have you had that moment yet? Back in interim dugout with Partick this
week? No, not that moment yet. I've only been in, what, a week and a half?
No, you'd only been in the job about 2 days.
But he went 2-0 down after 20 minutes. Might be different tomorrow. If it goes the same way, pear-shaped, then maybe. But nah, still enjoying it, Andrew.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Whatever is on your mind, Rangers fans, what did you make of that performance last night? What did you make of the start of Barry Ferguson's interim reign? Maybe you're a Kilmarnock fan who was feeling the opposite, delighted with the first 20-30 minutes of that match, but all went a bit pear-shaped after that. Want to hear from fans of other clubs as well, because so much happened last night. As Gordon alluded to, the league table is ever-changing. It's maybe looking a bit more ropey for the likes of Dundee, for example, but a big win for St John's. Hearts into the top six. Can they now battle the likes of Dundee United, Hibs and Aberdeen, and Motherwell fans? Michael Vimmer getting his first win on the board. 0141 951 1025. Any thoughts, bring them to us and we can discuss. But I think there is only one place to start after last night. As I said, all eyes were going to be on Rugby Park. It was quite incredible how it unfolded, because I was making my way back from the show last night, was listening to it on the radio. At that point, it was all Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock scored twice, could have scored a third and really put the game out of sight. And then all of a sudden, Barry Ferguson makes that change, a bold change as well, to make in your first game in charge. And the game then went in Rangers' favour.
Well, I think that's where they should take all the credit, because his hands were tied beforehand with the injury to Suter, and the problems that he's got at centre-back in Siala and Proper are the ones you have to put in there. So he goes with it. And obviously, he would have spoke to them through the week and told them exactly what he was expecting, but it was pretty obvious there's a weakness in there. And Derek McInnes is a very smart manager. He would have known there's a weakness in there and played in it, and Kilmarnock got their just rewards. But I think it's as brave as a manager, especially when you've been at the game a bit, you're just into a new club. Making a change in 30 minutes, Andrew, is not easy at all. I know it seems easy on the outside, and the supporters all across the country have watched their team and they'd say, I'd change that guy after 15 minutes, or I'd change him after 20 minutes. In reality, would you really? I don't think many would, because you've got to let the game play out sometimes. So to recognise it and actually do it at that stage, but then get the positive reaction, the manager has to take the pats on the back there, because he has to reshuffle that defence as well. Tavernier in, and obviously Yilmaz on. So it was a positive decision. I think it was obviously he has to react off of what happened, but he certainly got the positives out of it. And Daz is right. Once he got the first, you could see that their tails were up, and they actually, there was a belief about Rangers after that point.
It looked as if it was, well, it was the worst possible start, going two goals down. You just wonder what the change of manager, how big an effect that maybe had on the response that Rangers had for the rest of the game. There was, of course, a substitution, but did you feel there was maybe a different character, a different attitude about the players to be able to battle back from a tough position?
For me, 2-0, the next goal was so important. If Kamarnock get it, then I don't think Rangers will come back from it. The minute Rangers get it, they're a bit of lift, a bit of belief again. You feel the passion coming from the dugout, everything about it. Second half, only got to be one winner for me. I know you go on to substitution, right? I don't think that's as difficult a substitution as people might look at, because any manager, any coach that's sitting looking at that thinking this game's going to get away from us, because let me tell you now, if he'd have kept two centre-halves together, Kamarnock was scoring the next goal. The game's gone.
Could it have been either of them as well?
Yeah. Listen, I think if he had options on the bench, it would have been both of them.
But I think that's in hindsight. You say that. I don't think you see many managers making a change in 30 minutes.
Well, I think that just your first job and you're watching that, you've got to do something. You can't sit there and go, well, I'll tell you what, no many managers make a decision in the first 30 minutes, but I'll wait to half time till this game is now 3-4. Because that's the way it was going. I think if he had other defenders, he might not have played day two together. Plus the fact, if you hike back to St Mirren, Nsiala was at fault for a couple of goals. His defending was weak there as well. I think that putting I've got to give Tavernier credit, right? I thought Tavernier went in there, he settled everything down, he settled Proper down a little bit. Proper isn't good enough for me, right? I don't know if Rangers fans agree with that. Going forward, not good enough for me as a defender. Not in the Scottish game. I don't think the Scottish game suits him. He's obviously a good player, a guy, but he's obviously not suited to the Scottish game. But I thought Tavernier went in there, calmed everything down. Plus the fact, he's playing against two guys that, you know, they love the physical battle up there. And Kamarnock love to play that early ball. They like to get up the park. They like to unsettle you, unsettle you a little bit. I thought Tavernier went in, just calmed everything down. Yilmaz slotted in at right back. It was going back to the Manchester United situation, wasn't it, with Tavernier in there. But I thought that Rangers, Tierney's massive for them, right? When they got that goal, and it was a well-worked goal, they got that goal, it just, Kamarnock to me, just that belief of going and winning the game died from them. And I thought Rangers showed good character. And the big question, we'll hear it tonight, guaranteed, would Rangers have won that game under the previous manager? That's what you're going to hear.
0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, what did you make of that performance last night? Has it changed your opinion of Barry Ferguson and his coaching staff, whether it was positive or negative going into that game? How do you feel about Rangers going forward and the rest of the season? Was there anything in particular you were impressed with in the performance? 0141 951 1025. Richard is a Rangers fan up first in our Drossin. Richard, what did you make of it?
Evening, panel, how are we all doing?
Good, thank you, Richard. Good.
Listen, congratulations on the new role at Partick Thistle, by the way.
Thank you.
Hope all goes well. How come you didn't take the Dazzler with you?
He was busy, mate.
Yeah, mate.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, he wouldn't give up this. This is the love of his life.
And a Saturday. To be fair, I was in Airdrie and I didn't give up a Saturday, so I could have shuffled it along.
The fans loved that as well, didn't they?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, it was nothing to do with me. It was all him. I don't know, my work Monday.
What happened with that is the abuse was aimed at him, and I just told him the phone later.
Let me tell you now, the abuse wasn't aimed at me.
It might be aimed at you come Friday night, tomorrow night, if you're going along to the Partick Thistle game to watch.
Oh, that's right, actually.
But anyway, we'll get to that later on. Richard, what did you make of the game last night?
Listen, initially, you're watching it going, here we go again, the same stuff, right? And I'll tell you this, Philippe Clement would not have had the bottle to change that. He'd have played that out. Rangers would have gone in at half-time 3-0 down, and we would have been going on the merry-go-round again, get him out, get him sacked. Barry Ferguson was very brave. He made the change. He made the change quickly. He recognised it, and it paid off. And I've got to be honest with you, right? As much as I'll not get carried away here, right, because everything's well out of reach for Rangers at the moment, this is the first I've felt inspired by the Rangers team and by the Rangers managers and the management team, rather. Watching Barry Ferguson and Neil McCann and everybody else in the back with the passion that they had for the team, listening to the support, watching the team rally. I mean, some of the football in the second half was unbelievable. Dessel's goal for the fourth was an absolute peach. And it's fantastic to see, and I'm absolutely delighted for Barry Ferguson. I actually think, crazy as it may sound, see going 2-0 down and then winning the way they did, that was actually a dream start for Barry Ferguson.
Would that be the dream start? Would he not have rather have just not conceded the two goals? But anyway, just in terms of the changes that were made, how much of it do you feel was tactical, and was there anything massively different you saw in it, or was most of it about attitude and the commitment of the players and the desire? Where do you strike the balance?
Well, it was very hard to tell any difference, obviously, in those opening stages. It just looked like the same old Rangers, like Richard is saying, that we've seen this season time and time again. I think when they scored the first goal, you saw a kind of weight coming off their shoulders. They looked more of a freedom to go.
Can there still be
play.
A bit of a hangover from, you know, the previous manager or the previous regime from the weekend's game?
Barry Ferguson only had, what was that, one day he had with them in training? So you've got no time at all. You can actually tell the players certain ideas, what you expect of them. You can't really work in much tactically in that time. But I guess it's maybe how they've came across as a staff to the players and letting the shackles off a wee bit. That's what it looked like when they got back to 2-1. Obviously, they get the equaliser, their tails up. Everybody wants to take part in the game. And they got two very good goals off the back of that as well. So it looked better at that stage. It certainly didn't at the start. But I agree with Richard. And I know Daz doesn't agree with me. I still think it's a brave move. A manager been in for 2 days, hardly had any time with the squad, recognised a mistake in 30 minutes. I get the traffic was coming one way, but to go, I'm going to change this rather than just, I'm going to wait till I have time to change this, to change it like that. And it might have been Neil McCann and Billy Dodds in his ear. I don't know, because they've been managers before as well that might have just recognised something he didn't. But as a team, they got it spot on.
I know what you're saying, right? But see if he doesn't change it, right? You'd be criticising the coaching staff last night. 100%. Because everybody sitting there watching that for the first 20, 30 minutes recognised Rangers are getting run all over the top of here. They're getting bullied, especially with the two centre-halves. You couldn't have lasted another 15 minutes plus. So as much as, yes, you talk about bravery, I don't. I think it was the easiest choice in the world to turn around and say, right, guys, we've got a choice here. We either stick with these two guys that are getting battered left, right and centre, and we'll get it 3-0, 4-0, and we'll change it, or look at what happened at Manchester, and they'll have it in their heads what happened to Manchester United. Tavernier went in at Old Trafford. Magnificent place to go and play.
Is there
football.
Maybe a question mark, should Tavernier have started at centre-back after what happened to NCL at the weekend?
I can take that on board. They started with the same 11. I can take that on board, right? Now, the difference for me is the fact that, see, at 0-0, when you're looking and you're thinking, come on, we're quite on top here, and he makes a change at 0-0, I'm shouting, that's the bravest change I've seen, right? And it works for him. At 2-0, and they're battering you left, right and centre, I think it's a sensible change, right? And it could have been proper, but I think in Salah against St.
That's not the point I'm making. You've been long in management. How many times you've been getting battered 2-0 in games in the first half? How many times did you change at half hour and make a sub?
I've changed something on the pitch.
No, make
but
a sub.
But the problem,
at half-time,
the problem,
at 30
I have made subs
in 30 minutes.
Yes, in my management career, yeah. If I was getting beat 2-0, and I know that I'm not getting to half time, and that's the way Rangers were last night. You can't deny that. And let's face it, look, it's a good change. It's a sensible change. It wasn't a case of, you might argue, come on, we'd have waited to half time. See, Barry Ferguson had waited to half time last night. That game's away from him, right? So it's a very, very good change. At 2-0, he realised, I've got to do something. The problem he's got is He's looking at his bench. He's not got a recognised centre-half on there. He's got a young boy at 21 that's getting bullied all over Rugby Park, and the experienced guy proper behind him ain't helping him out at all, right? And Kilmarnock were just coming at them. All of a sudden, Tavernier gets in there, that experience, everything about him, and I thought he was really, really good last night. I was going to say Brown, but I thought he was really, really good the way he mastered that defence. And I've got to give all the credit in the world to the guy in the second half for me. I thought Dessers was outstanding.
Well, thank you to Richard. David is a Rangers fan in Barrhead. What stood out for you last night, David?
Hi, guys. I can agree with what you said. If this had been last week or the week before, we'd have lost that game. Come on, we'd have done nothing to change it. I think you could see Ferguson on the sideline. He will get passion. He will get pride. He will get 100% effort out of that team. Dessers was brilliant. He was mental. And I'm not a fan of Tavernier, but he just mastered that defence sensationally. I mean, up until, 20 minutes, I was worried. I was like, oh, no, here we go. But then, in the second half, they were passing the ball for fun. They were chasing the ball. They were second to every, first to every ball, second to every ball, fighting for it. The passing was a million times better at the start of the game, and Dessers is proving himself to be not a world class striker, but a guy that's good to have on the park or be able to bring on. Rangers are a different team under Ferguson, and they'll only get better, I think.
Yeah, Dessers is one of your favourites. Yeah. Gordon, what did you make of his performance last night? A couple of goals?
Yeah, I thought first half he contributed nothing. I thought his link-up play was poor. And I was a bit worried, I'm thinking he might get the hook after half-time because obviously everybody's talking about the standards and you want your centre-forward to lead by example. Second half, I thought he was brilliant. Look, I'm a massive fan of this guy, right? I just see something in him. I think that... was it the fourth goal, the one over the top?
That was to make it 3-2.
3-2. His finish is top class. That is top class. It's come out the air, and he's not put his laces through that. He's hit that early, side-footed it. He knows where he's putting it. The goalkeeper's route it. Absolute no chance. Look, he comes in for criticism, and I can understand why, because if you go and analyse his game last night, see the first half, he would drive you crazy. See second half, you're looking gone. There's the difference. The link up for, is it the fourth goal? He flicks it. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Good acknowledgement of the game, everything about him. Dessers scores goals. He scored goals last year. He scored what he's in all competition. He's what, about 18 or something this year so far. So he does come in.
It's 20 now.
It's 20, right? He's come in for a bit of criticism, Andrew, and I can totally take that on board, especially when things aren't right for you. If Rangers aren't, going through the spell with Clement, the style of football, you tend to pick for one or two things. The captain gets it, Tavernier gets it. Then you look at your front men, oh, he's not scoring, he's not doing this, he's not linking up. Dessers is a real good player, and I was delighted Rangers, because there was talk about maybe moving him on in January. I was delighted Rangers have stuck by him. I think he's got something to offer.
It'll be interesting to see what Barry Ferguson can get out of him in terms of level of consistency, because last night's performance maybe isn't completely different from what we've seen from Cyril Dessers in the past, where he'll maybe have a half where he looks way off it, but then he'll end up scoring a couple of goals, and he's got 20, so he is scoring goals, but he's maybe not game to game just having that run of consistent good performances, and that's why he's faced a lot of criticism. Is that a job for Barry Ferguson and his staff to try and get him playing at his best level more often?
I guess his criticism comes from missing chances. Billy Dawes, I don't know how you tell a striker where to put the ball in the back of the net, but I think Dessers still gives his all for the team, even when he's not playing well. I think we've said that before, the way he presses through the front. And I said before, he gets all the stick and Danilo gets off scot-free. Dessers is the one that scores goals. So I'm with Daz in it, that you'd probably rely on him just now. I think Dessers is the least of their worries. I think there's a lot more issues, and particularly at the centre of that defence, that needs to be fixed if they're going to progress Rangers.
Well, thank you to David. Plenty more time to take your calls. 01419511025. You could be up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, looking back at Barry Ferguson's first game in interim charge of Rangers. A 4-2 win against Kilmarnock last night, where they had to come from two goals behind to get that victory. Lots of other action in the Scottish Premiership last night as well that we'll look to, so give us a call, 0141 951 1025, if you've got thoughts on any of that. Let's hear a bit from Barry Ferguson, shall we, on the match last night. He's praising the character and desire of his players after they came back from behind to win.
To live the dream, obviously, to go and play for the club that you support, but then to go and captain and then to manage. It's a bit surreal, but after 15 minutes I was wondering what was going on. If I'm being honest with you, it wasn't the start that I expected, what I demanded. But one thing I've got to give my players is credit, because it's easy to fold, and that's been aimed at them all season. So I spoke about character, about a desire, and that's one thing that they certainly showed me, and I've got to give them praise for that. Look, there's a lot of things to work on, but when you come to a place like Kilmarnock, it's never easy, it's tough. They've got a top manager, an experienced manager, who I've got a lot of time for, but they're also a real physical outfit with some really good players. So for us to come back from 2-0 down, and what's obviously been aimed at this group of players now for a number of months, I'm delighted for them. But listen, it's only one game. Now the journey starts, the short journey it's going to be. We go back, we refocus, and it needs to be the same sort of performance, level of performance that we certainly showed in the second half. I thought the second half, some of the football we played at times was really good, but they showed a real desire, and that's what my teams are going to be all about. My team is going to be all about from now until the end of the season.
David is a Rangers fan in Cumbernauld. David, what did you take away from last night's game?
I think the first half was a little bit shocking. You were expecting the worst to happen, but I think Barry made some quick substitutions, which I think Philip Clement would not have made, and he managed to get the team to come back from a 2-0 down, which again I don't think Philip Clement would have done. I think it was, you could immediately see there was some differences in his team. There was the creation of different attacking plays, different ideas to try and get the ball in the back of the net, and there was a lot more desire and physicality from the players, which I was quite happy to see. I'm not sure if he'll survive until next season, but based on what we've seen so far, I'm quite happy with what he's delivering thus far.
Yes. I've got to say, I think that on Barry Ferguson over the last 2 or 3 days, I think in the media and everything, the way he's went about his business, he's handled himself very well. I really do. I think he speaks very well after a game as well, not getting carried away. I think David's right. Still a lot of games to go and a lot of important games. There's a big few games coming up in the next month, obviously. Fenerbahce and Celtic at Celtic Park. There'll be massive tests. But I think Barry's so far handling this very, very well indeed. And I do think that they did show a lot of character last night. It's a difficult place to go. I was looking at the pitch. There was one or two players slipping quite often. So it was always going to be difficult. Where the tweaks, I was listening to Barry's interview before the game, and he was sort of keeping it under wraps about, you know, what's he tweaked. And I think looking at second half evidence last night, I think they're trying to get the ball forward quicker. You know, Rangers under Clement was a bit laboured. There was no style of play. I think under these guys, the coaching and everything, what they're trying to do is get the balls forward quicker, get their opposition on the back foot, get at them quicker, move the ball quicker. And I thought second half, I thought there was only one, obviously going to be 1-1 in the second half. When they come out in the second half, got back into 2-2, it was a case of how many for me.
How do you sort of quantify that desire that Barry Ferguson talked about, David on the line has talked about from the players? Why has it not been there in previous games? Why does it magically just come when a new manager comes in? Does it just come down to team talks and the way that the manager deals with them, having lost faith in a previous manager? How can it go from being broken, you know, 2 days ago to then being fixed or looking much better a couple of days after?
I think a combination of all there, Andrew. I mean, I've sat in a dressing room where things snowball, bad result, kind of miscommunication at times, lack of understanding for the players. Then that leads to just being basically miles off it. And ultimately it results in the manager losing his job, and Neil Lennon came in. Pretty similar kind of terms of appointment. He was given the job to the end of the season, and all of a sudden, you know, he changed a few bits of personnel, and he just got his message just loud and clear, and what he expected in terms of intensity. The level of training, then intensity went up, and results followed because you mirrored what you did in training on the pitch, and that ended Neil's run. No, he was beaten in the semi, went to be Ross County. That was the standout poor result. But apart from that, in the league, he got pretty much a clean sheet. And I guess that's the aim for Barry Ferguson in terms of just dropping in your ideas, but really bringing up the intensity and training and just the mood about the place. Because that's a big thing in football as well, that people think it's all on-pitch stuff. Sometimes the mood hanging over, you know, a place like, I can only imagine, Rangers so far behind Celtic in the Championship, beat off Queen's Park, beat off St Mirren. I mean, walking into that dressing room and the changing room, that must have been doom and gloom. So those three or four walking in, their first job was to communicate with the players, maybe, you know, have a more personal touch with them and try and get the best out of them as humans before you actually go on the pitch. And that's what he could do in his short space of time. I'm not buying into, like, he's a tactical genius right away, because he had one day. He might prove to be that, I don't know. But he had to make small adjustments, and he got the best out of his team after 15 minutes on.
David, do you just expect that, you know, after that second half performance and the turnaround, that things will look good on Saturday against Motherwell, or do the team still have a real point to prove back at Ibrox, given the last couple of results there?
I think the players have a lot of making up to do, and this is our chance to do it. The rest of the league season is basically a free hit. It's the chance for the players to prove that they deserve a future in this team, and maybe it's a chance for the youth to get another run out again. But I think it's just when a manager comes in and gives you something to believe in, and they believe in you, miraculous things can happen, and that's the one thing you can say Barry Ferguson will do. He will give those players something to believe in, something to fight for. And that's maybe what was lacking under Philip Clements. Towards the end, I think maybe the players just started to lose belief in everything. And maybe it's just somebody that's got that passion and heart that can get them going again. You never know.
Because it's the nature of the beast here that Barry Ferguson can come in, good turnaround last night, gets 3 points away at a tricky venue, but needs to do it all over again against Motherwell at Ibrox on Saturday, because we've seen the reaction to Rangers teams losing games that they shouldn't lose at Ibrox in the last few weeks. I'm not sure the reaction would be as visceral, because, you know, the management change has been there, but certainly, you know, a lot of the good work that was done last night would quickly disappear if Rangers don't follow it up again.
It would, of course it would, but I think he's still got a bit of leeway. I think, you know, this isn't his group of players. He's been brought in to make a situation better and do it to the best of his ability. Certainly looked better for 70-odd minutes last night, but I think the Rangers players will react to a different voice. Again, going back to what I was just saying previously, sometimes it just needs a different voice. You know, just somebody that has a different outlook on things. With Barry being hugely experienced at that club, he's been through a lot. Remember, he's been through the bad times in the dressing room where he was told he would never represent the club again under Le Guin, to being reinstated 8 days later or something like that. So I think understanding as a manager of the situation certainly helps, and he can use his experience to help the team along in that respect.
Thank you to David. Greg is in Cumnock. Greg, what stood out to you from Rangers' performance last night?
The second half stood out to me. The performance they played in the second half was miles different for the first half performance. And I think whoever done the team talk half-time was brilliant.
Yeah, you would expect it would have been Barry Ferguson that did the team talk at half-time, but he just did have a big job to do at that point.
Well, I think the encouraging thing was they get back in the game. I think at 2-0, if they get 2-0 down, I think it's a bigger one. But 2-1, you've seen the players start to get lift, started putting a bit of pressure on. Kilmarnock started getting it forward a little bit quicker defensively. They looked a lot better. So as much as they would have been disappointed 2-1 down, I think his half-time team talk would have been positive. You know, because he would have, like most people in that stadium and watching the game at home, you're looking and thinking, oof, Rangers get back into this 2-2. There's only got to be one winner, because Kilmarnock, for me, second half had totally gone. And Rangers were breaking on them too easy, and I was talking about that different style of play. They were moving the ball quicker, and it was causing Kilmarnock all sorts of trouble. And even when Kilmarnock got on the ball possession-wise, they just lumped it and gave it away, and Rangers just kept coming back at them. I thought Diamandi in the middle of the park was excellent. I really did. Dessers started linking up the play. They started getting forward, good pace about them. Defensively, they were solid again. They were handling everything that was getting thrown at them. So I think the half-time team talk, as much it would have been a little bit disappointing in their heads going, we're losing 2-1, I think they would have had a good feeling of thinking, see, we get the next goal here, guys. There only got to be one winner, and that was the case.
Happy with that second half, Greg, but are there still concerns defensively in the players that Barry Ferguson has to work with?
I was just about to say that. I think for the old form in the Fenerbahce games, especially the games of Europa League, even if it's not a fully fit John Souter, we need to fling him in there. Because Robin Proper and Quinton Salah are not Rangers quality.
It's funny how things change, because Insiala came into the side not that long ago.
He actually got a lot of praise from Philippe Clement for at Rangers' performance at Tynecastle, which, by the way, Rangers actually conceded a whole host of chances in that game. But there have, of course, been games where he's had praise so far. Clinton Insiala last night, as he did at the weekend, not covering himself in glory. Robin Proper, who was the more experienced of the two as well, has this sort of strange thing where he's had some performances in Europe where he's looked solid, but then quite often he's found wanting domestically.
I think Daz is right about Proper. Just doesn't look a good fit for this game here that we've got. Europe, okay. I think in Seattle, you can be a bit more forgiving. He's a young kid, he's 21, he's going to make mistakes.
I think that was only his ninth professional game last night.
The tough thing is, he's been pitched into a Rangers side that have been underperforming under a manager that's maybe had mixed messages, and that's hard for any young player to go into and play consistently. So I think Insiala, there is a player there. He's going to make errors. If Rangers had someone else there, a proper fit, I think you would replace him and just bide his time just now. Might be a necessity he has to play. Again, the game at the weekend is going to throw up a different challenge for who he's up against. So it's horses for courses. If it's not going to be that physical threat, there's every chance he might play. But the big game's coming up against Celtic, Fenerbahce and that. You may have to look at an alternative.
Mark's right. You can't look. The boy's 21, 9 games in his professional career. He has a bad couple of games. St Mirren was a poor one for him. Last night obviously was a nightmare for the lad. But he wasn't alone, because I don't think his experienced centre half helped him, and he must have been crying out for that. But you just don't say, oh well, he's not got a Rangers career. He's certainly got something, the boy. The last two games haven't been good. He just needs to take a back seat. I think Tavernier getting in there, and if it is a case, that's all they've got.
Is that now a realistic option that in big games, James Tavernier will be the 100%. Right centre-back?
If that's all they've got at their disposal at the weekend, Tavernier will play right centre-back. I'm sure of it.
Well, thank you to Greg, 01419511025. If you want to get involved while you get your calls in, I'll tell you about this.
Oh my God. Win £400,000.
Brilliant stuff, man.
Yeah, we are so close to someone winning that £400,000 tomorrow. One very lucky person will bag all this tax-free cash. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £2.50 plus your standard network rate. Entries on our website cost £2.50 as well. Or you can call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this rail network competition are at Clyde1.com. Lines close tomorrow at 5 o'clock, so you do not have long at all anymore. Just answer your phone at that point and £400,000 will hit your bank account right after the call. So for your chance to win £400,000, text YES to 61025 now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, reflecting on Rangers' 4-2 win over Kilmarnock last night. Barry Ferguson's first interim game in charge. Of course, there were four other Scottish Premiership matches last night, so maybe you've got some thoughts on those. Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, maybe you're still reflecting on that big win over Aberdeen a couple of days ago. Dyson Maeda, once again, in amongst the goals. What are your thoughts on him and how he's handling life after Kyogo, really the main man for Celtic at the moment? 0141 951 1025. Let's hear a bit more from Barry Ferguson. He insists he has no issues with making big calls at Rangers after substituting Clinton Nsiala with the team 2-0 down after just 30 minutes last night.
I've got to make decisions. Listen, Clinton's a young player. He's got huge potential. But it could have been a number of players. But I've been brought here to do a job. I have to make some tough decisions at times. I'm not scared to make tough decisions. But it worked. But listen, Clinton's, we're going to work with him. We're going to make him better. And he'll learn from it. So it's nothing against the young man, as I said. I think he's got a bright, bright future in front of him.
Gav is a Rangers fan in Drumchapel. How are you tonight, Gav?
Hi, thanks very much for taking my call.
No problem.
Feel like it last night. I know it's only one game that Barry and Co's kind of been involved in, but you can already see that the structure was different. I seen a couple of the videos on the training, and the training looked fun. It looked intense, but it looked fun, and I don't think that would have been the same way that kind of Clermont would have. It just comes across it might have been all doom and gloom. Even the game itself, when they made the early substitution, I think Clermont would have let that linger until half time and then made it, and then by then it would have probably been too late. So I'm just happy that there's somebody there that's taken the managerial eye on it now, but he's also taken it as a supporter. He knows what we're expecting, what we're demanding. So that's pretty much what I was thinking of.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell, you know, what Philippe Clement would have done in that situation. He certainly made quite a lot of changes at halftime throughout his time at Rangers, which as a manager is probably not something you really want to be doing. It shows that things probably weren't going right in the first half. But Gav saying that he felt the structure looked better last night. Did you feel that was the case?
Certainly when they got themselves back in the game. Again, that's easy to say because, again, everybody looked like they had a new lease of life about them at that stage. Didn't they look particularly good, did it, in the opening stages? So I guess that comes with scoring goals and we sit here and go, oh, it'll look better. I think, yeah, Gav's right. It's things like the training. I've seen the cups of training. He's right, it does look fun. But that's got to be Barry Ferguson and Billy Dawes and Neil McCann's outlook at the minute to get a quick fix to lift the mood, like I was saying in that dressing room. You want players enjoying coming into training rather than it being an absolute chore.
Again, because was it Yannis Hadji a couple of weeks ago, I'm sure, was asked about, you know, Rangers just generally, and he was saying, you know, it's not a nice place to be, it's not a happy place to be.
I mean, going back to my time, I remember going into training ground and you were dreading it because you thought, oh, here we go again, doom and gloom. And then things change. You enjoy training day after day, you look forward to it, and that's reflective on the pitch. So even if that's for a day, maybe you attune. That can never be a long-term plan, of course, because you've got to have a better structure. But for the interim just now, if they're getting a tune at the players in training and making them happier about their workplace, then it will translate onto the pitch.
Goals change everything, Andrew. Let's not be kidded, right? Let's look at the big picture here. Barry Ferguson probably had his most sort of a passionate team talk at 5-8 last night. Right? In that dressing room, sending these guys out with that passion, the desire, everything. His team talk must have been through the roof. For 25 minutes, they were dreadful. Right? So it showed you that passion, that team talk, everything in that dressing room didn't really work because Kilmarnock ran over the top of them, bullied them out the game. But what he did as a manager was he made that decision. He put Tavernier in there to steady the ship. And the goal Cherney scores, turns a full game for them. All of a sudden, that belief comes back to them again. Barry gets the passion with his coaching staff on the dugout. It all goes together. They're getting at half time. They must have been feeling good even 2-1 down. Look, it is early doors. People they look at everything. We were ashamed. You look at the training, right? The training is training we were doing, well, I was doing 30 odd years ago. But Mark's right in what he said. We've all done it, right? We were laughing at the chess header one. It was to bring everybody together to get that, a bit of, you know, enjoyment into it, the wee passing drills, plain and simple, no tactical stuff. Go and enjoy it, get the passion going, get the pace, get everything going again, give everybody a lift. And it certainly worked. And what happened was, when they get back in the game, they showed that character that Barry keeps talking about, this character. They showed it because there was only going to be one winner after that. But there's still a long way to go. And there are a lot of difficult games coming up for them. And then, obviously, that's when they're going to be tested by making decisions, by picking the starting 11, by picking tactics. They're going to come up against two of the best coaches going about, Jose Mourinho, who's won everything, Brendan Rodgers, who's dominating Scottish football. So there's a lot of exciting times out there for Barry Ferguson and the Rangers squad.
Gav, you mentioned the structure. The guys had mentioned, you know, the maybe the change in desire, the change in atmosphere around the place. Is that all the stuff that needs to be implemented, maybe the basics that need to be implemented right at the start, and it's now a case of the intrigue of seeing what the bigger changes are made over the next few weeks?
Well, I think that should... Coming from a professional football player, all these things should be already kind of implanted. But it seems as if they've kind of been a bit lackluster lately. But I think it's more than anything. But I honestly think it was obviously Clement that may have been causing the issues. And I know that the players are playing on the pitch. But at the end of the day, I think that they just lost. Their heat's been done. I don't think they knew where to turn. But hopefully this is a kind of turning point. You could probably safely say that the league is over the new, but hopefully next season there's been that much of a turnaround that the players are fighting more to win.
Is there that sense of pride for the players as well, for what they've gone through this season, the battering they've taken, the fact that their performances, you know, along with the manager, has got that manager sacked, that they'll feel that, you know, they've got something to prove to the supporters, they've got something to prove to people out there that... Or maybe not the players that they've shown over the last wee while.
Of course, they should. The players are culpable as well. The manager loses his job ultimately, but the players play a huge part in that as well. Okay, there might have been mixed messages, or the message from the manager might not be clear, or whatever excuse, but ultimately it's the players who go over the white line and have failed time and time again. So of course, when there is a change, it's their opportunity to put things right, because it will be hurting in there. There's no doubt about that. So they've got big games to put it right. And yep, Gav's right. I think the league is gone, but they've still got an opportunity to progress in Europe, and it's going to be very difficult. And they've still got a couple of games against Celtic. That they're big opportunities to try and go some way to redeeming your previous performances. Nobody will forget the Queen's Park game followed by St Mirren. Of course not. But if you progress in Europe, you beat Celtic, they stick in people's heads probably a lot longer than your negative results. So there's still chances for the Rangers players to get something positive, as little as it is out of this season.
Well, thank you to Gav. Lots to look forward to in the second part of the show. If you want to speak more about that Kilmarnock Rangers game, we're here for you. Maybe you want to look at last night's other action. There was that big VAR call between Dundee United and Hibs that we definitely will need to get into. We will hear from Jim Goodwin as well, and Celtic fans as well. If you've got anything on your mind, give us a call, 01419511025. But first of all, as always, we need to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I wonder if Ryan from Airdrie, that Gordon beat on Tuesday, has resurfaced at all since then, because he came on, he gave it big licks, he wanted to play against Gordon, said he was going to batter him. It was a narrow 2-1 win for you at that point, but you then gave him a real hammering afterwards.
Well, 2-1.
Yeah, it was a convincing 2-1. I'll tell you what, questions were difficult. I hope there's no difficult tonight. I am in fire. Nobody wants to.
I've not played for ages.
Well, will it be Mark Wilson? Will it be Gordon DL? It could be you. Give us a call before 7 o'clock. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gord Diehl and Mark Wilson, who are going to be on their best behaviour for the rest of the show, just chatting during the break.
I would never use such language and think you got busted on air.
Fear in Gordon Diehl's eyes when he was just telling a bit of a story and then realised that one of the mics might have been on, but I'm sure it wasn't. I think you're all right. I think you're safe.
Look, I told the story, but it was him that's bringing out the worst in me. Ridiculous. Get him back.
You said it.
You can't call ex-players that. You cannot call ex-players that.
I can, they're not listening.
Well, the less said about all that, the better, I think. I think we should probably move on quickly. If you're a Rangers fan, you've got any more thoughts on that 4-2 win over Kilmarnock, you can call us 01419511025. Celtic fans, what are you making of that 5-1 win over Aberdeen during the week? Daizen Maeda is, of course, the talk of Celtic. We'll hear a bit from Cameron Carter-Vickers talking about him later on. And, of course, there was plenty of drama, goals, VAR drama in the games last night. 01419511025. But let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Marvin's win last night means he goes above you in the league table. Aye. Mark Wilson.
He blanked me at the game. I was at the Livy game, Livy Morton, the other night, and he was sitting right there, standing right next to me as well, and he blanked me.
Quite interested, no?
Yeah, it shows his competitive nature of...
No, he just shows he doesn't like you.
Was he chatting to other people and didn't want them to know that
he was lording it up at Livy? So he was in the director's box and that. He was giving it a big
fish. He's a big fish.
Had no time for me.
Oh, well, you can try and get your own back with a win tonight to go back ahead of him. Or will it be Gordon Diehl looking for
flying.
His second win of the week, potentially?
Flying.
I mean, it was 2-1. It wasn't,
doesn't matter.
A win. But win is a win. Fair enough. It will be Brian in Paisley. Brian, who do you fancy out of these two?
Right, let's hear Brian.
I'll take any number. Two of them are easy peasy. Anyway.
There we go. I like it. This is going to be exactly the same as Tuesday night when Ryan and Airdrie came on, gave it big licks. But now you need to back it up, Brian. You know that.
I done it the same. I done the exact same thing. Kenny Milne hammered me, to be fair. But
Kenny's good, but Brian. Kenny's good. If you get Mark, you're on to a winner. If you get me, hang up, mate.
I don't mind. That's like a sort of Hugh Keevans mentality from Brian, where he'll make a prediction, get it completely wrong, but just go for it again. Why not? See what happens, right? So Brian has played before, so he knows the rules. It will be heads for Mark Wilson, tails for Gordon Diehl. And it is tails. It is Gordon Diehl who's playing for the second time this week. So I'll put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Gordon Diehl. Brian, you've played before, but just a recap of the rules. 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well. That might help you out. How does that sound?
Yeah, not badly, sir.
Let's do it. Aberdeen's Jamie McGrath has joined which club on a pre-contract?
Bristol City.
How many goals has Daizen Maeda scored this season?
17.
Which team are currently 42nd out in the SPFL?
Pass.
Andy Robertson joined Liverpool from which club?
Queen's Park.
How many points currently separate 3rd from 6th in the Scottish Premiership?
6.
Which city is written on St Johnstone's badge?
Denver.
We're nearly on an hour break, mate.
I'm amazed at Brian's confidence level, so that's all I'm going to say.
Tell me there's a challenge here.
Gordon Diehl, 30 seconds
Brian,
on the clock.
Brian, do you watch much football by any chance?
we'll get to Brian after these questions. Same for you, Gordon Diehl, 30 seconds on the clock. Let's go. Aberdeen's Jamie McGrath has joined which club on a pre-contract? How many goals has Daizen Maeda scored this season?
12.
Which team are currently 42nd in the SPFL?
Forfar.
Andy Robertson joined Liverpool from which club?
Dundee United.
How many points currently separates 3rd from 6th in the Scottish Premiership?
Sorry?
How many points currently separate 3rd from 6th in the Scottish Premiership?
13.
Which city is written on the St Johnstone badge?
City. The Perth.
What nationality is Clinton Insiala?
Oh, he's French.
Right. Brian. Talk to us.
I don't know what's going on, man.
36.
Do you feel it going better, Brian, when there's not the pressure of being on air? Do you do better when you're listening up?
Usually, aye.
How many did you get, Brizel?
Well, we'll get to that.
Maybe the big 5-0.
Did you get the donut, mate?
We'll go through it and find out. I was concerned straight away because Aberdeen's Jamie McGrath has joined which club on a pre-contract? You said Hibs. That is correct. Brian said Bristol City, I think. So it was 1-0.
What a random guess.
Brian's impersonating Ryan.
Brian, how many goals has Dyson Maeda scored this season? Brian, a Celtic fan, went for 17. You went for 12.
In the league?
No, goals this season. How many goals he scored this season? That means how many goals in all competitions he scored this season?
I would say about 18, 20.
25.
He scored
24 and 25 against Aberdeen on Tuesday night. So
that's a lot of goals. They only won 5-1
to Gordon DL. Which team are currently 42nd out of the SPFL teams? Gordon DL gets it. He goes 2-0 up. It is 4-4. Andy Robertson joined Liverpool.
Hull.
From which club?
Hull.
Hull City is correct. Gordon DL went Dundee United.
I went too quick.
Brian went even further back. He went for Queen's Park. Straight from Queen's Park to Liverpool, the answer.
See if there's any rugby questions on there for Brian.
Is Hull City. How many points currently separate third from sixth in the Scottish Premiership? Brian didn't get it. Your answer of 13 was pretty bad. We know how tight the Scottish Premiership table is. Between third and sixth, it's never going to be 13 points.
Hold on a minute. He's got the league tables in front of him. He actually tried to calculate that.
41. Aberdeen. Five!
He's trying to add that up. He's got the numbers in front of him.
That makes it so much worse.
Hold on.
You tried to do quick maths. No, they're and not. The answer is 5, and you came up with 13.
Where did I get 13 from? I went second.
Have you got any rugby questions for Gordon?
Oh, yes, Brian.
Hey, Brian, I might have got rugby questions, but you're not going to beat the pundit ball.
This might actually be the worst of Brian's answers, I think. Which city is written on the St Johnston badge? You went for Edinburgh.
Hold on, Brian, my mate's collapsed, mate, like you.
Brian. Brian, what was the thinking there?
I just heard something Johnston. I never heard St Johnston. I just heard Johnston and just, I don't know. I heard City and went Edinburgh. I don't know.
The answer is Perth. So it goes 3-0 to Gordon DL.
He got there's one another victory.
Extra question. Clinton Enciala is French. It is a 4-0 win to Gordon DL.
Brizo, how are you feeling now, son?
I want to hear a wee boost in your confidence.
I'll tell you what, it certainly worked.
You know what?
Yeah, we're good at that. Apart from beat the pundit,
I'll stick to the rugby, mate.
You know what? I don't mind it, Brian. I hope you come on again at some point and are just as good.
All we,
and we'll see what happens.
We shuggies listening to this, going, tell Brian to phone in the morning. Yeah.
There we go. 4-0 to the pundits. Brian, are you feeling a bit better about how your side Celtic are getting along, rather than your beat the pundit technique?
Aye, as long as the Celtic keep flying, mate, might be the pundits. I'm not interested in that. As long as the Celtic keep winning, I'm alright with that.
I love it when they get nothing. They go, nah, I'm not really interested. Are you married, Brian?
I'm not, no.
No.
No. That's why.
Well, thank you to Brian. Hopefully he'll try again at some point.
Please try again, Brian.
01419511025. If you've got any thoughts, we're still looking back at that 4-2 win for Rangers at Rugby Park. Maybe you're a Celtic fan that's got some thoughts on what's happening at the club at the moment. That 5-1 win against Aberdeen a few days ago. Dyson Maeda, as we mentioned, they beat the pundit, making it 25 for the season. Let's take a look at some of last night's action, though, because there were a few big games on the go. And I think, you know, Dundee United against Hibs, everyone thought fourth against fifth, as it was last night, was going to be a big one. Quite a lot of controversy in that one. Let's hear from Jim Goodwin. He says Dundee United had a perfectly good goal disallowed before Hibs scored twice to win 3-1. It was an instant where the ball was crossed in. Sam Dalby headed the ball, and VAR adjudged that he'd headed it off his own arm and into the net. Here's what Jim Goodwin had to say.
Look, I need to be really careful with my choice of words. The second half, I thought we, you know, for large spells, played it in Hibs' territory, and you know, we're the team that was pushing for that winner. And we thought we got the second goal. You know, we thought we scored a perfectly good goal. But it takes, you know, 3.5-4 minutes for the guys in the VAR studio to say that Sam Dalby has headed the ball onto his hand, which, you know, from all the angles that I have seen with my analyst, with the broadcast angles, I can't see it for the life of me. It's not, you know, clear and decisive and obvious for me. So that's a big decision that's gone against us.
Yeah, we were sitting through in the office earlier on watching that over and over again. What are you making of it, Mark?
I think it's an outrageous decision to disallow the goal. And it goes back to, we're just looking, I mean, VAR brought in to help referees get to the right decision. Wasn't it brought in for stuff like that? And even saying that, having analysed it, like Jim just said there, we looked at the video time and time again, different angles. I can't see it either. I think VAR's had a howler this season. I think this week alone, going back to Easter Road, and then you actually compound that by another call like that. It has not been a good time, I think, for our referees, and especially Willie Colm. I don't know how they can come to that decision after 4 minutes. If it's taking 4 minutes, I mean, it's telling you something. That's, you'll have to show me more conclusive pictures, unless, again, the SFA have got more conclusive pictures. But every angle that I've seen, I can't see it. I thought it was a perfectly legitimate goal.
Yeah, Mark's just talking about generally this week. We go back to Easter Road, and there are still huge question marks over the goal that would have seen Celtic equalise against Hibs, because people have yet to see a conclusive angle of whether the ball was definitely in or definitely out. VAR intervened and overturned it. When it comes to overturning what would have been a goal, the threshold needs to be really high. There needs to be that conclusive evidence, and we've said it with the Celtic one, there may be that conclusive evidence that the Scottish FA have, that they've looked at it, but certainly from the angles that we've seen, it's pretty hard to tell, isn't it?
I think, like Mark, VAR has been disastrous lately. I really do. I think they've got themselves in all sorts of trouble. You've got to be 100% correct. You've got to come out and show those you know, pictures of clear evidence that, for instance, I was the same. I cannot believe Dundee United, that goal got disallowed. I'm with Jim Goodwin all day long. Ridiculous decision. Ridiculous. And to take 4 minutes to keep going over it and over and over it. This game's all about scoring goals. It's all about giving the forwards advantage as well, Andrew. There's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that came off his arm. How they come to that conclusion? Same at Easter Road. I was waiting in this, you know, the evidence coming out this week to say, well, there's 100%.
Because it kind of depends when the VAR review show is. Well, we don't know, obviously.
They need to do some. See, for me now, I was sort of on the fence with VAR. I thought, right, okay, it's helping with offsides, it's helping with one or two things. For me just now, it's sucking the life out of the game. It really is. And as a player and supporters, as a manager, you're actually frightened now to celebrate a goal, because they take it all back to the start of the play. Is it a foul there? Is it a handball? Is he offside or whatever? I just think it's taking the enjoyment away from the full game.
I even wonder, see how they come to actually look so much. And I get they have to check, right? Every goal will be checked, of course, to some level. But I looked at that goal last night, and never once did I think that's come off his hand. Now then, when whoever's made that call, did that come off his hand? Let's look at it again and again and again and again. Still, the images that we've seen in this studio, and there's Jim and his analyst, and I'm sure there's loads more people out there, cannot for the life of us see what they've seen in that office.
There may well be a scenario where we do see an angle where Sam Dalby heads the ball off his own arm and it goes in, and it is the correct decision in the end. But there's a further frustration, I think, generally among supporters of just how long it takes to get to that decision. I know there were two separate parts of it, because they were unable to draw the lines for a potential offside check because of the angle they had and how crowded the box were, and there were players in the way, which is an issue in itself. But then to compound that with then taking so long to come to whether it was the correct decision or not, just the wait for players and the manager and supporters is a frustration for people out there.
Surely if you can't come out with that clear evidence, right, then you're leaving yourself open. There's no doubt in that. When I watched the Dundee United situation last night, I thought it was for offside because I didn't see the handball at all. And I kept looking, and then I realised, hold on a minute, they're not checking for offside here, in the sense that they're disallowing this because the handball. Now, I can't see that, right? But if it's a case, right, okay, they need to come out and show that, because if they don't, they're making a shambles of the game. It's ridiculous. They're taking that, as I say, they're sucking the life out of it with VAR and the decisions that are getting made.
I think the whole point of Willie Collin with this fronting up and having these reviews with Gordon is to be honest and transparent. But what you can't have then is him continually coming out and saying, we got that wrong again. And we got this wrong again. And they are howlers. And you've got to remember, that costs the team. That costs, that's people's livelihoods. I know Dundee United are sitting pretty just now, but they drop a place and Hibs jump above them. So it's big decisions. Same with Celtic. I know Celtic are way ahead in the league and it might mean nothing at the end of the season, but you're never to know that at the time. So we need to get it right. The VAR at the minute, on several occasions, are seeing things that us on the outside just aren't seeing. So maybe they do have some magical camera angle they just never release, but it needs to be cleared up sooner or later, because Daz is right, it is ruining a lot what is good about our game just now.
And it will be further compounded for Jim Goodwin in the fact that Hibs then go on and win that game, yeah. What is such a crucial game, and as I say, it will come out in the fullness of time whether it was or wasn't the right decision. The Scottish FA, Willie Collin, will sit down and he'll talk through it and we'll see the angles, but certainly from where Jim Goodwin is sitting, he doesn't feel that the goal should have been disallowed. Then when Hibs go up the other end and score, it actually comes from a goal kick where he feels they should have had a corner, yeah. Instead.
Well, look, the goals change him. If they go 2-1 up, the game takes a different look and you're more comfortable. Jim will probably admit then there's nothing they can do once the decision's been made and they need to defend that situation better themselves. But at that time, it's a crucial time in the game. We just can't be getting that wrong. As officials, when we've got cameras and all the technology, and I get we've not got the cameras that are down south in the Premier League, but we've still got enough to make the right decisions, and the fear is those in charge are making too many errors.
Well, any thoughts on that? 01419511025. Let's speak to Dylan, who's a Rangers fan in Airdrie. Dylan, how are you?
Not bad, mate, yourself?
All good, all good. What's your take on whether it's Rangers generally or last night's game?
Last night's game, basically, the defence, mate, is shocking. I think Liam King should be back in instead of Proper and leave Tab in the middle there again and put the two wingers out and shut out.
Leon King is an interesting one because there's been sort of Rangers manager after Rangers manager who's decided not to play Leon King at centre back. We've seen it at times that, you know, what was the game? Was it against Manchester United when he came on? But he was shifted out to right back and James Tavernier played at right centre back. You know, it would have been a big call, obviously, for Barry Ferguson to come straight in and play Leon King ahead of Nsiala or Proper when he's not played a lot of football. But there's
maybe... Is he not injured? Did he not get injured and took off? It was at Ibrox,
the game. The European game.
He get injured and he gets subbed after about 15, 20 minutes.
Just the more sort of general point on Leon King, though, that, you know, he's been at Rangers a long time, still a young player, but he's just not been a player who's managed to break into, and you wonder if there's a history of managers there. Maybe.
Yeah, it is interesting because when he came on the scene at first, I thought he had a real bright future. He's maybe just not had enough game time. For me, he has to look at what he's got to do with his future going forward. He has to play games. Games will only help him learn and get him the more experience that he needs. I don't think that looking at Rangers over the next coming weeks that they're going to look at somebody like King coming in. Look, Balogun and Souter are big misses because they would certainly have been before Proper. As I said tonight, I thought I've seen Tavernier in there a couple of times. Old Trafford, I thought he was excellent. Last night, he went in, steadied the ship, but he experienced everything about him. So I think they'll go with that. As I said, I'm not a Proper fan. I'm not saying he's a bad player. I think if he goes to the continent where he's played, I think he would be well suited, but in Scottish football, I think it's just a bit quick and physical for him, and I think he struggles.
How much has James Tavernier at centre back surprised you? If it has, because against Manchester United at Old Trafford, he came in, he looked pretty assured there. He's a player that, across his Rangers career, the big criticism that's been thrown at him is that, you know, he can't defend, he's not very good at defending. He then gets shifted into the centre of defence and he's maybe done a better job than people would have expected him to do.
Yeah, positionally, I think he's taken to it fine. I don't think there's been any issues there. I think when you move in one, again, I've done it before, there's less to deal with, in my opinion, in terms of you're usually playing against a lightning quick winger or clever players out wide, and James Tavernier's maybe been done time again with that. I think he looks comfortable, and like, he's a good professional, he's good on the ball, so when you're playing him centre half he can start attacks for you as well. But I think he's been someone that, you know, those round about him can rely on in that position, and maybe Nsiala just isn't that just now proper for me, and Mudaz certainly isn't that. So it looks your best option at the minute. I guess what you're losing though is that delivery to the right hand side, but his numbers haven't been where they've been in previous years for that right hand side. So are you losing that much this season? Maybe not.
Well, thank you to Dylan. Any thoughts on last night's action? What happened at Rugby Park? What happened elsewhere? Maybe you're a Celtic fan that's got thoughts on what's happening at your club at the moment. We'll set up a teaser for these two next. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Looking back on Rangers' 4-2 victory over Kilmarnock on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. Lots of other games to get our teeth into as well. VAR drama, as always, in Scottish football. But before we get round to more of that, we've got a full-time teaser for the two of you. Thanks to Mark in Renton for this one. Can you name the six players Barry Ferguson played the most with in his Rangers career who were never capped at senior international level?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a curveball in there.
Bob Malcolm?
Correct. Yes.
Oh, good right start. Off the bat.
That's because he was assistant.
Who? Oh, sorry,
Malcolm,
was.
Yeah.
I'm sure I played with Bob Malcolm in the Scotland Future side. I'm sure he was in that side.
Well, Scotland Future, but not the... was that different to the under-21s?
Aye. That was when Bertie Vokes got the sack, Walter Smith came in, so Tommy Burns took the team, and we got thumped 3-0 away in Germany, and that was the last.
Is this all Rangers players?
Yes. Name the six players Barry Ferguson played the most with in his Rangers career.
All right,
who were never capped at international level.
Right, that gives it away, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like Bob Malcolm.
Nacho Novo.
Correct. Right, we all leave it there. Good start.
Loving Grants.
For Mark Wilson. He was capped Loving for Grants. Denmark.
For yeah. Denmark.
Did he?
Let's speak to David, who is a Celtic fan in the city centre. David, what have you got for us tonight?
Hi, I'm just like to talk. I watch all football, so I was watching the game last night. Now, I watch a lot of Celtic games. Now, we've been caught offside an awful lot, and then you've got to sit and watch all the lines being drawn. Now, I'm not saying he was offside or he wasn't offside, but when Cherny was running through last night, it was a quick decision. Nah, he's not offside. It's fine. It's a way. They never brought up lines in the television, and he's running through as the defender's running out. And then on the second goal, I'd like these to go and look at it. Igamani's got a hold of a player the 8-9 yards out, and he pushes him all the way into the net, which opens up the space for Bessers to go in and head the ball into the net. VAR went and looked at it. It goes back and shows you him pushing him all the way into the net again, but the goal stands, but it's a foul.
Yeah, I've seen. I mean, certainly when it comes to offsides, it will have been checked, and VAR will have drawn the lines if it's tight, because that's what they do. On the second goal that David's talking about, I've actually seen the clip that he's mentioned, and it's something that, you know, is brought up quite a lot in football at corners and set pieces. You know, blocking of attacking players, blocking defenders, stopping them from getting to the ball. It's the type of thing that will be looked at. Should be. Looked at, I suppose there's maybe a lot to take into it in terms of, you know, is the defender that's being blocked, are they able to get to the ball? There's a lot to consider in that case.
Look, players have to be careful, and we're always speaking about why do players pull shirts and things like that when there is so many cameras about. But you're right, there is a lot that goes on the penalty area, and that's probably what it boils down to. Is that defender going to be active when the ball drops into that area? Now, I remember Dessers putting it in and where he put it in from. Can I remember quite where Egerman was and where he pushed the defender? But that
because the two of them are tussling for quite a long way. They go from sort of one, like, you know, centre of the box to pretty much the goal line. Mm-hmm. But
I think it's getting worse now. You look at the game. You look at even Tuesday night's game, Celtic Aberdeen. Amount of times the referee have to tell the players, look, the pushing and the pulling and blocking is part of a training. Routine now, isn't it? you'll go and you'll work on your corners, you'll try and block the guys that is going to attack it. I watched the game. It's a difficult one to call. It really is a difficult one to call. I think that the referees will need to have a real look at the way that players are now dealing with the defenders and attackers in the box just now at set plays.
Because it's also interesting when you look at the fact, you know, David feels that one should have been looked at, and then there's the furore, easy for me to say, in the Dundee United
what
game.
What was that?
The furore. In the Dundee United game, you know, was something that, you know, it seemed as if no one saw that's getting picked up by VAR. So, you know, that's maybe where there's a bit of frustration, whether this one in the Rangers game was right or wrong, that some things have been looked at and picked up on and others weren't.
For Park, part of the game, Dundee, two Dundee players, a block, and Casey scores the first goal through the header. Do you look at that and say there's no intention to play the ball there? That is right. It's part and parcel of the game. VARs or try to sanitise every part of football is just not going to work. So you need to let some things go. But I guess is if the ball was going into that area, that's what they would have taken into consideration. And was that defender going to affect it in that area? They probably thought last night, no.
There's also that balance to strike of, and people will point out the inconsistencies as well. You know, people are maybe frustrated that too much is being looked at when goals go in, that, you know, I've heard that criticism that the VAR are looking at every possible reason to rule goals out. But, you know, supporters will be annoyed at different instances if it goes for or against their team, or for, you know, teams that are rival teams to theirs.
Of course, if it doesn't go for you, you're going to obviously. And managers are now coming out, and that's after the games, that's most of the topics they're talking about. You know, the decisions that go for them, the goals that were disallowed. You look at Jim Goodwin last night. Doesn't talk about, you know, how good a season Dundee United are having. They played a very good Hibs side, and all credit to Hibs, who took advantage. They talk about decisions, talk about VAR, they talk about incidents. And that's why I'm saying that just now I think VAR is sucking the life out of the game. But I think players have got to take responsibility, especially in the box. I've seen, since the turn of year, for some reason, I've noticed that it's actually getting a lot worse. Players are not even looking at the ball. All they're doing is wrestling with the player, because there's so much in the game now. You know what I mean? You're looking at top six, you're looking at relegation, the amount of money, everything about it. Players are frightened to make a mistake. They're the ones that don't want to let the team down by their man at a set play scoring, so they'll do everything they can to stop it. I just think it's getting worse. I think it needs stamped out somehow.
Is there still that frustration, David, about the goal that was ruled out at Easter Road at the weekend?
No. Again, I can't tell if that ball was in or that ball was out. It's there or there. But again, go back and look at the goal that Besser scored, the header. He actually heads it from the space that the player was in. But again, Manny pushes him straight into the net. He's behind the line. He's got two hands on him, pushing him all the way. The defender's got his hands up. And Igamani's got a hold of his shirt with two hands and pushes him all the way into the net. Go back and look at it and tell me that's not a free kick. Now, the referee had looked at, what's his name, the boy that gets subbed?
Nciala.
Three times he looked at possible penalty kicks and him pulling in the box. That's fine. That's pushing and pulling with a centre-half. But when you put your hands on somebody and push him out the space that then Dessers runs into and heads the ball, a free header. And the ball came over to him, and you can actually see Igamani pushing the boy all. I'm like that, watching the game, saying, that's a free kick. But they didn't give it. But they went back and looked at it, but let the goal stand. Go back and look at it, and then come back on and tell me that's not a free kick, Gordon.
I suppose the difference there with maybe some of the other jostling you see is the ground that the two players cover as well, because you don't quite see it that often that, you know, it goes from the two players. Quite often it's maybe just, there might be just be a wee nudge or a pull here or there, but the two players are actually, you know, moving for a good 5-10 yards with each other. Then the VAR then have to look at whether A, it was, you know, Igamani dragging or blocking the Kilmarnock player out of position, B, whether both players were at it, and you can't really give a foul either way. The, you know, how much of an impact it had on the goal, potentially. David saying, you know, it happened from the area that Dessers scored from. So there's a lot that the VAR will need to take into consideration.
That's the one thing about it. The VAR certainly have, because they look at every single goal. They analyse it to see if there's any problems in the build-up to the goal, and then they'll respond to it. You look at the another big one last night at Kilmarnock for me was the corner that he scored from. You know, the referee's standing, what, five, 6 yards away from it, gives a...
Hadji shot that leads to that goal.
Yeah, gives a goal kick, and then all of a sudden changes his mind. Now, I'm not saying it's a corner or not a corner, but it was a mix-up with the officials. And you're thinking, well, the referee's standing there 5, 6 yards, he's got the best view of it, and he's given a by kick, and then all of a sudden he's given a corner kick. And I think that was the fact of the linesman who's standing the other side of the pitch.
Should we give David a live reaction of you just watching it back there to see what was happening?
No, defender needs to be stronger.
Yeah,
I think both of them have got into a wrestling match, and just as the line comes, the defender shrugs Egerman off, and it's by that time it's too late. You need to be stronger defensively there.
What do you make of that, David?
But if the defender puts his hands on Igamani, the referee's going to give a penalty kick.
But he has got his hands on him as well.
There's a penalty kick.
He's got his hands on him, but Igaman has got the momentum that forces him back. It's only right on the goal line the defender does shrug him off. By that time, it's too late.
But so it's prolonged holding of a jersey.
But he's done the same. The two of them are at it.
Prolonged holding, you're not allowed to prolonged hold the jersey.
Do you give a penalty? Because both of them are.
Mark's saying that both players are doing it, David. So what way do you give the foul, or do you give a foul if both players are holding on to each other?
The Kilmarnock player isn't pushing Igamani.
He's trying.
He's pushing him back into the net.
No, but he's trying. Igamani's just stronger than him.
That's also the direction players run in when a corner.
Somebody in the box.
But what do you mean? It's a contact sport.
A penalty kick was given for a push on, supposed push on Dessers in the box, when it didn't look as if he touched him when he went down. So if you're pushing somebody in the box, it's a free kick. Well, if that's in the middle of the park, that's a free kick to come
for
out.
For who? But that's what I'm saying. Egerman is stronger than the defender. The defender's trying, he's utmost to push him the other way. It's a contact sport.
He's got hands on him. He's got a hold his shot with both hands.
Well, listen, we see it differently. You obviously see it that way. I see it that the defender probably has to be stronger, and Rangers take full advantage of that.
Yeah, David and Mark can agree to disagree on that one. Kenny is a Hearts fan in Airdrie. Up next, Kenny, what have you got for us more? VAR drama from your game?
Oh, 100%, guys. Evening, Gordon and Mark. Nice to get through the night. I was at the game last night, and I find, quickly I'll go over it, when the SFA admitted they had wrongly not awarded Hearts a penalty versus in the Rangers game. But last night, there was a challenge on McCart that was, to me, wouldn't be acceptable in rugby. And how VAR got involved in that and downgraded it to a yellow is quite scary, if that challenge is acceptable in Scottish football.
Jamie McCart jumps up for the header. Yeah, Killian Phillips is the player coming in to try and win it, obviously doesn't win it. The referee initially giving him a red card, then goes to the monitor, downgrades it to a yellow. What do you think is the basis of downgrading it? Does the referee think Killian Phillips catches him with an elbow? Yeah. And then when he goes to check it, you know, he actually catches him with his arm tucked in, and it's his, side of his shoulder.
Which was correct, but then you've got to take into consideration the rules are, was in danger opponent.
Excessive force, potentially, brutality,
I agree. Look, when I seen it real time, I thought, right, okay, the referee's made the right decision here. I was a bit surprised, once again, he was sent to the monitor, and he comes back and he obviously changes it, downgrades it to a yellow. I thought that was a lucky. I thought that was a red card. I've got to say, I thought it was a red card.
Was it the force of it, Kenny, you feel deemed it to be a red card?
Well, 100%. Like I would say to Gordon now, you would always say, in Gordon's era, that would be an acceptable challenge. But
men, that'd have been a good challenge in my day.
Gordon, in your era, men wouldn't have done that to one another. It would be a good old 50-50, a meaty challenge. But when I watched that last night, I thought the guy's put his shoulder into McCart's face. He's no, and then he straight away was all apologetic. Four Hearts players around him, and it was a straight word every day of the week, and yet the audacity to actually downgrade it to a yellow was It's quite scary if that was going to be allowed in challenges.
Yeah, that's one of the interesting parts, is that the referee and the VAR deem it a bad enough decision on the pitch that it needs to be overturned.
Yeah. I didn't think it was red.
Did you not?
No. I didn't. Seriously. I watched it just in the studio, and actually, I don't know if you remember, I said he didn't get a red for that when I seen it from behind, did he? Not knowing that it got rescinded. And I then said, oh, that's the right decision for me. Again, I get that. I think that he knows what he's doing in terms of he's never getting there, but he's going to put his body in, and that kind of showed McCart that you're there and you're going to be a physical presence. It was unwise, maybe, to do it, but I don't think it meets the threshold to have merited a red, in my opinion.
Well, thank you to Kenny. Let's go back to this teaser. Can you name the six players Barry Ferguson played the most games with in his Rangers career who were never capped at senior international level, like Nacho Novo and Bob Malcolm?
Amoruso must be one.
Lorenzo Amoruso is top of that list. You know what? You've only got three more to get. We'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Gordon DL and Mark Wilson taking on this teaser. Can you name the six players Barry Ferguson played the most games with in his Rangers career who were never capped at senior level? So far you have Lorenzo Amoruso, Nacho Novo and Bob Malcolm.
You come up with a good one. On you go.
Carlos Queller.
Carlos Queller, correct.
About Rod Wallace.
Brilliant. Rod Wallace, yes. Is a very good shout. One more to go. We will get that at the end of the show. Shall we hear a bit from Cameron Carter-Vickers, who's been speaking this week? He says Daizen Maeda was the talk of the Bayern Munich dressing room after their Champions League tie.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. You know, I was actually talking to, after we played Bayern, I was talking to Eric Dier, and he said that after the first leg, all the Bayern players were talking about him and how much he runs and the kind of energy he puts into a game. It is incredible. You know, after the first leg, I think he said they got the stats up in their change room, like the running stats, and you know, everyone was just talking about how much high speed distance he done and stuff like that. It is incredible, his kind of running capacity, and like you said, you know, obviously we get all the stats and that in terms of high speed running and sprint distance and stuff like that, and he's always top of the charts for all of that.
Yeah, I think I saw a stat a couple of weeks ago, you know, sprints in the Champions League this campaign, and Daizen Maeda was way ahead of everyone else. But on top of, you know, that energy and the pressing and the high speed running, as Cameron Carter-Vickers was saying, just the numbers in terms of goals and assists that he's adding into his game over the last couple of months is huge.
Well, I think Brendan Rodgers has certainly helped him in that respect. You know, Ange Postecoglou takes huge credit for bringing Maeda to the club, but I think Brendan Rodgers has got to take huge credit in how he's developed his final input, because he's always had that, you know, the high speed distance, the number of sprints, how he affects your team in terms of pressing in a positive way, how he runs in behind to stretch opponent. He's always had that. But what he didn't have was the composure when he's playing wide to just take a breath and deliver or get in at that back post. But playing through the middle as well, just how clinical he is. I thought that's what maybe would have held him back from playing through the middle for Celtic. Just his finishing. But some of his finishes in recent weeks and months have been exceptional. And what a player. He's far out for me in terms of player of the year at the minute. Kuhn was certainly there. I think he's overtaken Kuhn now. And he's turned into a remarkable player for Celtic.
I know, different in terms of position, but Matt O'Reilly obviously played under Ange Postecoglou, wasn't a massive goal scorer in his time under Ange Postecoglou. And in the one season he had under Brendan Rodgers, he scored way more goals. Is that something that Brendan Rodgers should be credited with, that he can either change players or get a bit more out of them or something different out of them?
Yeah, and plus the fact, I think what's helped, and at the time it wasn't so good for the Celtic fans, was Kyogo leaving. The opportunity to play through the middle. I think he's shown that he's a better player through the middle than as a wide player. I know that people say, well, at the start of the season, he was still scoring goals, he was causing problems, creating goals where he's playing the width. I just think he's got everything in his locker. I think he terrifies defenders. I think he terrifies goalkeepers. They don't take, you see Bayern Munich, right? Best goalkeeper in the world with the ball at his feet, panicking at Celtic Park because he knew he was coming. Look, and what's incredible is Celtic didn't think they were going to have him for the first game against Bayern Munich. And Brendan Rodgers' words was, we ran him into the ground, and yet he's still going, he's still going. His fitness is incredible, and his stats must be through the roof.
Is he now Celtic's number nine? Is he now first choice striker?
I think so. I think when you've got so much quality in the wide areas now, and a luxury of Jota coming into the side, and by the way, Young, Hugh Keevans will not like to hear it, but Young's doing pretty well as well, then why wouldn't you utilise him through the middle? A smart move from Brendan Rodgers. You've got to say, because no one knew how that would play out. Everyone's saying, you've left yourself bare with Ida. But he knew Maeda could fill that hole.
He wanted a striker, though.
He did want a striker, but he's made the best of a bad situation. He's got quality players all across that front line, and it would have been easy to keep Maeda there, because Maeda has been a standout from the left-hand side. But when you've got Jota just to come in and occupy that position, that makes your decision easier. But again, Maeda then has to go in and he has to score goals, because you're judged in goals in that position. You're not judged in your pressing and your link-up play, so to speak. It's goals. And he's went in there and scored 25 for the season, did you say?
Yep.
What a phenomenal return that is.
Yes, St Mirren is who Celtic play this weekend. That's the 5:30 kick-off. They were up against Hearts last night. That's a big win for Hearts, isn't it? You mentioned it earlier on, Gordon, the position that Hibs and Hearts found themselves in not all that long ago. Was it after 12 games? I think Hibs had only won one of their first 12 games. Not that long ago, Hearts were rock bottom of the table as well. And now the two of them right in the mix. And Hearts last night, probably a really vital one, just in terms of maybe where they find themselves, whether they're battling, you know, for, you know, the top half of the bottom half, if that makes sense, or whether they're likely to maybe get a top six place.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think the two Edinburgh teams, what a turnaround, as you said. We looked at the beginning of the season, they had a disaster. Manager of Hibs was under severe pressure, thought he was going to get sacked. Hearts bring in new manager, and you're thinking, oh, hold on a minute, I know he got off to a good start. But what's really exciting is they play each other at the weekend. And I think that's going to be an absolute cracker at Easter Road, so I'm looking forward to that. But two teams that are banging for them, you've got to say.
The two of them realistically have a chance of getting that third spot, because Aberdeen, I know, obviously have won two games recently, didn't beat Celtic on Tuesday night. No one would have expected them to, but Dundee United losing last night as well, Hibs beating them. It's really all to play for that third spot now. It looks exciting.
It's interesting. There's been so many inconsistencies this season at different times for teams. Obviously, at the start of the season, touching on their Hearts and Hibs, but they've found a level of consistency and a habit of winning, whereas Aberdeen went the opposite way. But by the way, Aberdeen at Celtic Park created some chances, so green shoots of recovery there. And United, yeah, they've came off it a wee bit, but they're still in the fight. So what a top six we've got this season. I do think the momentum obviously is with Hearts and Hibs at the minute. And by the way, I've got to take my hat off to David Gray, because he is minutes away from probably losing his job, and there's a lot of ill will against him. I get he's a hero at Hibs, and he had a wee bit of goodwill maybe with the fans, but he was clinging on, and to turn that around, but to sustain it is a great job he's doing. And he'll have his eyes on third now. And what a turnaround that has been from the start of the season.
Big win for Motherwell and Michael Vimmer. Always good for a manager to get that first victory at home as well, in front of their fans.
Yeah, played well, particularly the first half. He's changed one or two things about formation wise, trying to play at a good tempo. You know, it was an important win against Dundee. They needed it. Lost in his first game away from home. Always good to get a good start, especially in front of the home fans. He'll be delighted with that, but big task at the weekend going to Ibrox. But he'll be looking forward to the challenge. That's why he's at Motherwell. He's come over here to get game time with Motherwell to go and challenge himself as a coach against the, you know, the best teams in Scotland, and Rangers, obviously, at Ibrox. Has got to be a difficult one for him. But that was a confidence booster for him last night.
St Johnstone making it three wins in the last four as well. Can they drag the likes of Dundee and Kilmarnock into a relegation battle? We will wait and see. Can you name the six players Barry Ferguson played the most times with in his Rangers career who were never capped at senior international level? So far, you have Lorenzo Amoruso, Nacho Novo, Rod Wallace, Bob Malcolm and Carlos Cuellar. One more to get.
Need a clue.
Arteta? No,
not Mikel Arteta. This second most. So he played Amoruso with 176 games. This player was 170.
That's not a clue. A goalkeeper?
What? Yep.
A goalie, Klaus.
Stefan Klaus.
She not?
Never capped.
She never capped
for Germany.
Who was in goals for Germany in that period?
Certainly, according to this bit of paper, Stefan Klaus.
Oliver Kahn must have been
never
in.
Capped. Yes, I mean, Germany have had some very good goalkeepers over their time, haven't they? But you know what? I've got enough time that I can double check. And why would I doubt the sheet? Because Stefan Klaus has only been capped for Germany's under 20.
That's outrageous, eh?
Stefan Klaus, the final answer to the teaser. Thank you to Gordon Diel and to Mark Wilson. We'll be back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock.